Hi, I'm Sarah, and you're listening to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Enjoy!
Welcome to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. I'm Jenny Detweiler. There are people in life that you meet who are just overflowing with passion and tend to spread that excitement to the people around them. Well, my guest today is definitely one of those people. Not only does she talk about what's important to her, but she lives it out. I'm excited today to get to interview Leanne Setliff and about all she's going to share with us in this episode. Hey, Leanne, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Can you share a little bit about yourself with our listeners?
Sure. I am the director of Christian education at First Gen Methodist Church here in Hickory. And I work with children and families there. I am married to a great man, Luke, and we are foster parents. And we have been licensed as foster parents for almost 2.5 to 3 years. And that has been a great adventure. And that has, why I think what we're going to talk about today. So,
yeah, just like she said, Leanne and her husband are foster parents and they're super passionate about encouraging others who are also doing foster care or who are considering foster care. So Leanne, can you talk with us a little bit about how God led you and your husband into that ministry?
Sure. So, the way the Lord works a lot of times is he works in your heart separately and then comes together as a family. And so the Lord began working in my heart in college and really gave me a passion for children who can't stand in the gap for themselves. So they need, and so just really felt a calling to standing in the gap for kids who don't have somebody to do that for them. And that has taken on different roles. I am really also passionate about the church's roles and involvement in the public school system. I think that's a really big piece to where we're called as Christians. And so that's a place that I felt very strongly about in college and in seminary. But then also through some reading and some blogs, the Lord also brought me to a place of foster care and the need for that. It's very clear in scripture that we are called to care for the widow and the orphan.
Yeah.
And that in modern day America looks like foster care system. And so Luke's journey is a little bit differently. Luke's the middle of 5 boys.
Oh, wow.
And yes. So his mother-in-law and you have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Jenny. But their 5th is adopted and he's adopted from China. And so my mother-in-law, oftentimes people will say, why didn't you choose a girl? And she said, I knew how to raise boys. Why would I mess
True
up
that.
What's not broken? So Luke's family has adoption kind of already wrapped in it and around it. And I began to introduce him to the foster care, idea of foster care as we were dating. And so it was really not even a question by the time we had already had those discussions when we got married. Foster care for us is not our plan B. It's our plan A. We feel called to serve in this way. And so a lot of people will say, well, you ever have children of your own or did you have to try to have children? And for us, this is where we feel called and how we feel the Lord calling us to use our home and our time.
So, yeah, I love that. So having been a foster parent, I know that there are a lot of people that enter into that ministry with kind of rose-colored glasses on, like, I'm going to go love these children, and then, you know, they're going to be great, and all they need is love. What has the reality of foster care been like for you, as opposed to what your expectations were going in?
We just had our first instance where the end result was not a nice, pretty bow, and that has been a hard thing for us to swallow. It did not end well. It ended kind of in tension. And so that has been part of our journey, is learning what it looks like to trust the Lord with these children. Even, you know, we are not Jesus and we know we're not Jesus, but like you said, part of foster care is allowing the Lord to be use us as our hands and feet. And so we want to help and we want to fix things and we want to provide safety and security and stability. And so when a situation ends in tension, it's hard. And it is a reminder that ultimately we are not the healers or the fixers. One of the things that, I don't know if this answers your question, but one of the biggest things we've learned about is that a lot of time the perception of foster care is that the children are good and the birth parents are horrible.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
But the minute that you meet a birth parent, it goes from this black and white reality of they're horrible people to this murky shade of gray. And you learn their stories and you learn. And clearly, yes, there have been horrible things that have happened. And we don't negate that. But the reality is they're people. And
that's
it
right.
becomes this really murky shade of gray. And you realize the complexity of birth parents. And pretty early on, Luke and I learned that this ministry is just as much for the birth parents and the family as it is for the children that are in our home. And what does it look like for us to encourage? What does it look like for us to come alongside? What does it look like for us to provide a safe place for their children while they work on their own life and health in their own life? And just what does it look like to be Christ to the birth parents and the birth families just as much as it is welcoming their children in our homes?
Yeah, so. I think that's really good. That's a really good perspective. I'm glad you shared that. So for people who are not aware of the difference between foster care and adoption, I think that they're very similar. Caring for children is very similar. And both of them tend to come from trauma backgrounds.
Yes.
But I think the difference that some people maybe don't know is that the whole point of foster care is to reunite children with their birth parents. So it's supposed to be a short-term thing, not long-term, caring for children until they can go back. So I just wanted to put that out there in case there were any miscongruities, I guess, about what that is, incongruities. What have been some of the rewards or the unexpected blessings that you've received along the way?
So November is National Adoption Month, and we didn't participate because we are not adoptive parents yet. The hashtag that goes along with that is "We could have missed this." And I think Luke and I have kind of taken that as kind of our, like, not our battle cry, but like our reality. Like, we could have missed out on so much joy and life and love that the two children that we have long term in our home have brought us. And I think a lot of times people, the number one thing we get when people find out we're foster parents is, "I couldn't do that. I get too attached." I mean, that's a reality. And I always like to tell people, but that's the point. You know, the United States moved away from an orphanage system because they realized there wasn't connection and attachment between a child and a caregiver. And part of children learning and growing and thriving is to have an attachment. And so, yes, the point of foster care is to get attached and to be able to be strong enough in our own places to, as adults, we have been given the tools to grieve and to move on, but these children have not. And so what does it look like to get attached for however long that looks like? And in people saying, "We couldn't do it, we would get too much attached," my response and Luke's response now is, but look how much we would have missed.
That's right.
How much we would have missed out on the year or 2 years of just joy and being with our children that the Lord has given us. So, anyway,
that's really good. Attachment is so important. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because you're right. As a foster mom, that's what people always would say to me. And yes, I might actually do a podcast in the future on attachment because it's so important.
It really is.
Okay. Can you share about your support network and the ways that they support you?
Yes. So, one of the biggest blessings that we have had as foster parents is that Luke's oldest brother and sister-in-law are foster parents. And then my best friend, who was my maid of honor in my wedding, and her husband are foster parents.
Oh, that's
neat. So, yes. So we have two very close resources, and we already had established deep established relationships with these people before they became foster parents. And so not only do they know us, but now they understand the level of foster parenting and being a foster parent. And so that has been the biggest gift to us, is that when I am frustrated with DSS lingo or court systems or how slow it can feel sometimes or the process, I can call one of them and just unload. And not in an ugly way, but just in a, let me, and I don't have to explain terms, and right. I don't have to explain myself, and I don't have to explain, and it's just been a gift.
And they get it.
And they get it. They really get it. And so it's taken what can sometimes be an isolating reality as foster parents, and made it, given us a community, and it's actually deepened our relationships with those particular, you know, those relationships we've had. It's deepened. We get each other on a new level that somebody who's never been a part of it can try, and we need those people and those relationships too, but there's just something about somebody who gets it.
Yeah.
So.
Because you didn't bring this up, I'm going to bring it up. So Leanne and I did a training together like a year or two ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of that, we sort of talked about, and the other people in our class, about how great it would be to have sort of a support network. And so Leanne, this is what I'm talking about. She's one of those people that doesn't just talk about stuff. She goes and does it. And you began a dinner, every 3 months?
Quarterly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where foster parents can get together.
Yes, foster and adopted parents, because we want to include that too. Because a lot of times in the DSS system, foster parents become adoptive parents of those children that they've had. So,
yeah.
So we have a dinner. It's called Another Place at the Table, which I borrowed from a great book that I love called Another Place at the Table. I love that concept that there's always another place for people to join us at our table. And so we have had that 4 times. And just to be able to be together and to provide that community for people. Because what would happen would, at that training, we talked about it, but I love connecting with people. And so part of just what I love doing is I would meet people here and there, whether that would be through trainings or just happened, somebody said, oh, you're a foster parent, you should meet this person who's a foster parent. And we would connect that way. And I began building relationships, but they're all they weren't communal relationships. It was just my relationship with them. And what I began to realize is I was a lot of their only relationship to foster parenting.
Right.
And I would find myself saying, you should meet so-and-so at every time. And finally I thought, you know what? We should just have dinner and then just invite everybody. And that way, I love going to lunch, but I'm not going to 15 different lunches. We can just all be together and meet people that way. And so that has been really cool to see and to be a part of. I think the last one we had about 8 adults and their kids, and we sat around a table and we just laughed the entire time.
Which is so needed.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
About different things. And so that was just, has been a joy to be a part of. And then this Thursday, I thought, you know what? A lot of these people I meet, these moms I meet, we all meet during lunch because we have childcare and we're meeting. So let's just do a lunch and it just be moms. So we're going to try that out this Thursday. So I'm excited.
I love that. Do you have any advice or encouragement for others who are in the midst of fostering or who would be considering it?
So advice for foster parents.
Or let me ask a different way.
Okay.
As you are going into foster care, is there something that you wish people would have told you ahead of time or that you would have known going in?
I think part of the biggest thing, and this is part of what stems from all of these events stem for, is just to have a community to do it with people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is it can be a very isolating reality. You're called to this, but it can be a very lonely journey. And so I think finding community and a support system is a huge piece to be able to have self-care.
Yeah.
And the reality of being able to sustain being a foster parent for longer than a short term.
Right. And I actually wish that I would have known that as well going in. I mean, I think you think about it, but you don't really think about it until all of a sudden, unlike birthing a child after 9 months, so you have preparation time. All of a sudden, there's like a brand new life in your house, and you maybe had 2 hours of notice,
right.
And maybe you have the things for that little person, and maybe you don't have the things for that little person, and you don't get a maternity leave, and you don't get all the things, and life just carries on, and everybody thinks you're a miraculous person for being able to do all that you do. But if you can't ask for help, that's a real problem.
Yes, and that's a big thing, is that being willing to ask for help and being willing to accept help.
So, right.
You know, so our...
That is a double-edged sword.
Yes, it is. Our we got about 30 minutes notice for our newborn that we got. He's almost a year old now, which is crazy to think about. But what my husband and I have realized is that... it is so cool to see the body of Christ just kind of like come around you and be present. And we got 30 minutes notice. I was at a meeting. The baby beat me to the house. And 2 minutes later was a bundle of stuff we needed to get through the night. This was like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night when we got the baby. So it's just, it was, and then we didn't cook meals until, I don't think I cooked until end of March. She came in end of January. So just to be able to see the body of Christ come around you and support you, but then also to be able, you know, when people say, what can I do, to be willing to accept that help and say, actually, this is what you can do, or being willing to ask for the help is also a huge thing. I think sometimes we're afraid to ask for help, but I think being willing to accept it and ask for it is a very big thing. We've been very blessed by a great support system of social workers, and everybody gets a different social worker, and so every social worker is different. But we just have been extremely blessed by the social workers that we have. Both of our kids, we have two children in our home. One is 4, and one's about to be 1. And they're not biologically related, but they have the same social worker, which has been a huge blessing.
Oh yeah,
To not have to communicate more than once. And so, but you know, I talked a little bit ago about allowing Christ to work through you for the birth family. It's also a way to really bless the social workers and to be present to them and to
because speaking of burning out, that's a high rate of burnout job.
I have so much respect for social workers because I don't know that I know I couldn't. My social worker told me that I am too much of a control freak to be a social worker. And I said, okay, well, I will just support you then.
You just run the children's ministry.
I'll just do something else. But just to be able to support DSS and to be able to come alongside them as well is a big deal.
Yeah.
That's
really good.
So.
Okay, so on a different note, has there been a scripture that the Lord's used in your life as you've walked this journey, or just that you like to cling to?
I really like Lamentations 3:22-24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait upon him. So I don't know if that's a life verse, but that's my favorite. I think there's just chunks of it that just to cling to in every situation, whether it be a bad day and that the Lord will have new mercies in the morning with new grace, or whether he's saying, wait on me, or the reality that his love is all consuming. So,
I love that. So on a fun note to close us out.
Okay.
Can you share something random about yourself? It doesn't have to be about foster hair. It can just be.
Yeah. So I have 2 random holes above my ears.
Sure enough, she's showing me.
The doctor told my mom that when we evolved from fish, I did not lose my gills. My mom found a new doctor. So I tell people all the time, I have gills. Can't use them as gills, but I have 2 random holes over my ears as gills. So there you go.
That is fun.
So
awesome. And is there somebody who inspires you?
So yes. So in thinking about this question, I had 2 answers. The first would be my mom. My mom is an incredible follower of Jesus who had a very hard childhood, and it's just beautiful to see the way that her relationship with the Lord, how he has sustained her in that. And she has just an incredible quiet strength. I think sometimes we think of strength like loud and boisterous and kind of come in and get things done. But she has this really beautiful, quiet strength. And it's a quiet strength that comes from trusting the Lord. And so I've just been really inspired by her and gotten to see that. And the other person would be my mother-in-law, who I, of course, have known a lot less time than my own mother. But as the mom of five boys, she has an incredible amount of patience and the way that she loves well. She's a kindergarten teacher, and just aww, the way that she loves her children and the in-laws, but then anybody who really comes into her homes. And so one of the things that we talk about, we could have missed this. One of the joys of having children in general, or welcoming children into your home, is to see your parents get to be grandparents. And so that has just been so cool to watch both Luke and my parents, both our mom and our dad, but specifically these two women that I really look up to and love, get love on my children. And so that's been really cool.
That's awesome. I think that's really incredible. I think when I started asking this question, I thought, oh, like somebody from afar that I've watched. But almost everybody I asked has picked somebody in their immediate family, which I think, you know, that's amazing that we have that kind of impact on our kids and on our grandchildren and all that kind of stuff.
It really is.
It's really amazing.
It really is. I originally picked somebody far away. Beth Guckenberger.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of her. She actually, her book, Reckless Faith, is the one that I read that opened my eyes to foster care. And so she is a missionary who lives in Mexico and does children's ministry and orphan care, and just is an incredible speaker and incredible writer about the stories of faith that and what the Lord has taught her in these stories of the orphans that she's cared for. And so that's part of my calling story, too, is just learning more about her story.
That's cool.
So I had three answers. Sorry.
Okay. You're allowed to be inspired by more than one person. That's really good. And now that you shared about Reckless Love, I'm going to make sure that I link to that in the show notes so people can go find that if they want to read it.
You can also do Another Place at the Table as well.
Oh, and Another Place at the Table. That's right. I'll link to both of them.
Yep. Those are great resources and books.
Awesome.
So, yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Leanne also wanted me to add that if you're interested in foster care or adoption, it's important to look at the information of the county and the state that you live in, because processes can look different in different areas. There's a great need in our nation for foster homes and foster families, particularly safe ones. So if this is something that you feel called to, pray about it, look for support, talk to other foster families, gather information about what is needed in your county and what that process might look like. Well, I really enjoyed my time with Leanne, and I really hope that you were blessed by it too. If you've enjoyed this podcast, or you know someone who would enjoy listening to it, please feel free to share it with others. And subscribe, of course. I love subscribers. New podcasts are released each Tuesday, and you can find this podcast on the website, pauserenewnext.com/podcast, or anywhere else that podcasts can be found, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, etc. Keep an eye out for new blog posts on the website as well. You can follow PRN on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And please, if you've enjoyed this podcast, join in the conversation on our comment section on the website or on our Facebook page. Well, that's all for this podcast episode. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.